Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this privilege. We get to pause, to put down all the distractions. We get the chance to seek through reading your word, to think your thoughts, to receive your word. God, what a precious thing this is. And God, I consider it such an honor and privilege to have a microphone and be able to share what you've shown me. But God, what matters right now is not my thoughts, but yours. What matters is not my words, but your word. And so, Lord, we say, as simple as we are, we say, come and give us wisdom. Come and give us strength. Come and renew us. And Lord, I believe today in this time, you're going to wipe some slates clean. You're going to give new opportunities, new chances. Your mercy is new every morning. And we say, God, come in your faithfulness and meet with us. And we humbly submit to your word. And we say, God, read to us yourself by the power of your spirit. And all God's people say, amen. 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 The guide to hearing Tim Roberts preach is the more times you say amen, the faster I go. And actually, the better I preach. So, amen. So please help me out here. Now, we're going to talk about some real things in this time. Is that all right? We're going to go deep. Anyone ready to go deep? Amen. Does anyone want a superficial word that just bounces off the surface and you forget it tomorrow? Anyone one of those? I don't have one of those anyway. We're going to go deep. We're going to talk about some things that really matter. We're going to talk about some of our frustrations and our longings all mixed in. And I believe the word of God is going to speak to us at some very core levels. And we've had a prophetic word this morning. They saw a picture of a chalkboard that was being wiped clean. You know, when all the stuff and the dust would actually cleanse completely. Do you know, we're in the presence of a merciful God who loves to give new chances. He loves to wipe clean. That's what he does. That's what he did on the cross. And it's what he continues to do day after day after day. And if that speaks to you today, receive that as a word from the Lord. Amen. I don't know if you've had an experience where at the end of an activity, you have wondered why you even did it. You know, it's like, what was the point of that? Anyone had that feeling? Anyone washed the car? And at the end of washing the car, and you know, it's got a nice sheen on it. And then within hours, a Saharan dust storm comes over and coats the car with dust from the Sahara. And you made all that effort. Oh, I look so shiny and nice. Oh, and then it's gone. So what was the point of that? What a waste of water and time and soap. Maybe you've had that experience when you've tried to clear your email inbox. Anyone ever done this? Anyone ever had a clear inbox? For a moment, look, you get balloons from Microsoft. Empty inbox! And I often take a picture. This happens once or twice a year. I'll take a screenshot or take a picture of my screen, an empty inbox. And then you go to the loo, and then you go back to your inbox. Not an empty inbox. Answer me. Email after email after email. What was the point of that? Maybe, and there's no picture of this, maybe you've changed a nappy. And then within a couple of minutes, why did I even bother changing the nappy? Or maybe you've gone with your hard-earned money and your time and you've gone to support a football team or a sporting team. Now, as a Watford fan, I've never had this experience, but apparently It's possible to go to a match and cheer your guts out, you know, to go for it, and the team doesn't show up on the pitch. Arsenal fans really know what this feels like. Just a little... it's like, I spent all that money. I went all those miles. Why did I even bother doing that? Does anyone know what that feels like? Some of us have experiences like that every week. We do things, we wonder, why did we even bother? What difference does it make anyway? You see, these are big and deep questions. What difference does it make? Well, I'm telling you today, what we do can make a difference. It doesn't always, but what we do and how we live can make a difference. We can do things today that will make a difference in eternity. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I wonder if you ever had this moment of thinking about your own funeral. Anyone ever thought, well, this is cheery, isn't it? Not about how you die, but, you know, once you've gone, by whatever means, have you ever pictured yourself at your own funeral seeing what happens? Have you ever imagined what kind of atmosphere you want to have in your own funeral? Has anyone ever? Is it just me that's thought about this? You see, I've been to some amazing funerals. I've been to those that have been packed out with people where people cannot say enough good things about the deceased. They talk about how they prayed for them when they were 10, about how they said hello to them at a bus stop when they were 35, or something happened, and over the period of their life, they've amassed influence. They've amassed, they've left deposits of goodness and life and hope and faith in the lives of hundreds of people, so much so that the place is packed out, and you can almost hear the trumpets of heaven welcoming them in, you know? You can almost hear the chorus of the angels and the saints cheering on, saying, here they come, yes! I've imagined what I would like. I'd like a few people to be crying, not just because I've gone, but crying because they had the privilege to know me while I lived. How about you? I remember doing one funeral, and I was, as the clergy going, preparing for the funeral, I was allowed to go in, and I saw the previous or the prior cremation service going on, you know? And there's crowds of people outside for the one that I'm presiding over. But I go in and I see, and in there, there's the minister, the coffin on the stand, and the curtains were just being pulled. There's three people in the chapel, three. And I have a feeling that one or two of them were just the neighbor of the person. And I feel a sense of sadness, because if there are any tears shed there, it would just be the sadness of what had gone rather than the celebration. I wonder what you've thought about your own legacy, about the impact you and I can make on eternity. We're talking about knowing God more, and we're coming into land at the end of a whole autumn period, looking in the first letter, first chapter of Peter's second letter, the first 11 verses. We hear Peter on, he's on the home straight, he's on death row effectively, and so this is some of the last writings, the last things that we have recorded that he said are in this chapter that we're going to read in a moment. And you see, Peter is concerned that the grace that has been received might be lived out by those who claim to follow Christ. And we'll say, we'll look at this in a moment. He's been through some ups and downs in his life, just like you and me. But he gets to the end and he writes these words and he says, I want you to know God more and more and more and more, and to never stop knowing God more, but to keep growing in your knowledge of God. Keep living what you say you believe. You know, I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting to stir some of us up so we become again believing believers. Amen. Hello? That we become Christ-following Christ followers. How many of you know there are quite a few Christians that are not really following Christ? There are even, we're part of a Pentecostal denomination, which means we celebrate and give room for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I know many non-Pentecostal Pentecostals. Let's not be unbelieving believers or non-Christ following Christ followers, but instead, let's walk the talk and live the life. And when we do, we will not just know God more in theory, but we will know God more in first-hand experience every day. And fruit will come from that that we will never see. And maybe we don't ever need to see the fruit. Maybe we don't ever need to know all the lives that will impact. Let's just impact some lives. Can I hear an amen to that? So now we're going to come, and for the last time this year, we're going to read together 2 Peter 1, the first 11 verses. And you can follow this on the screen in the New Living Translation or in your preferred translation. But we're going to read this together and catch see the progression of ideas here as we've looked at this over the autumn. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Verse 5, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affections. And if that wasn't enough, right, if you need a life's work, and with brotherly affection, with love for everyone. Has anyone achieved all that? Anyone completed that list yet? All right, we've all got work to do then, by the grace of God. Amen? The more you grow like this, verse 8, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their sins. Church, let's not be those that have forgotten what Jesus has done for us. Then let's read this together out loud from the screen. Please join me in this. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord. It's not just an ancient letter. Through this, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to your heart and my heart. And he wants to reassure us and to challenge us and to encourage us that if we are and when we are faithful today, we will be fruitful forever. That's the promise of God to us today. If we're faithful today, guess what? We can be fruitful for eternity. That's good news, isn't it? Let's say it together. Faithful today, fruitful forever. One more time. Faithful today and fruitful forever. This is a promise. It's an encouragement. He says, work hard. Work hard to prove that your faith is real. No different from taking a coin. You know, is this plastic or is it real? Kind of bite it. You're not making the coin authentic. You're just proving that it is. In the same way, how we live, what we do and what we say and how we pray, it proves whether or not our faith is actually real. And Peter says, work hard to prove that it's real. Don't just give lip service to this thing. I'm not trying to point the finger at anyone here. I'm reading the word of God with you and it challenges us to the core. Are we actually living this thing out? And you might say, but Tim, I'm covered by grace. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm covered with grace. Don't you get this? What are you being legalistic, Tim? Are you just, I'm covered by grace. Do you know what? I was baptized by the grace of Jesus. I'd be like, great, good start. And I take communion at every opportunity I can and I celebrate the forgiveness. Do you know what? I'm covered by grace. I don't know about you. I say, yeah, I am as well. So is Peter. And earlier in this passage, as we've read weeks ago, he says, yeah, you've received the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now prove that it's real by living out what you say you believe. You see, we have been rescued from judgment for our sin. Anyone say hallelujah? We've been rescued from judgment for our sin. but we have not been rescued from the audit of our actions. Peter makes clear that there will be a day of reckoning where our actions are accounted for. This is still Christian theology. It is not cheap grace. Oh, I'm covered by grace. It doesn't really matter. I can live however I want to from Sunday at, 3 o'clock in the afternoon through to the next Sunday morning. I can do what I like on a Saturday night as long as I'm here taking communion on a Sunday, as long as I'm receiving grace and celebrating grace. I'm telling you, no, it does matter, because what we do from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday to Thursday to Friday and Saturday, it matters. There will be an audit of our actions. And you say, well, is that really, doesn't Jesus love me? Yes, he loves you. And he loves you enough to keep account for your actions, because you want the good actions to make a positive difference. You know, you want the relationship you keep with Jesus to make a difference. So much so, Jesus himself said, there'll be some people in that day when the audit, the account is read, there'll be a day of reckoning. And some people will come to that point and say, Lord, Lord, Lord. And he'll say, what does he say? I never knew you. I never knew you. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. I sang to you on Sunday. Yeah, but Jesus might say, I never knew you. I know this is challenging, but it's just from the word. Peter says, work hard to prove that it's real. And if you do your faith, he says, do these things. And that's all the stuff above, you know, brotherly love and affection, all those things, patient endurance. Do these things and you will not fall away. This is good news for us. If we do our faith, we will not fall away. We might trip up, but we will not fall to our death. We might stumble a little bit, but we will not stumble eventually that leads to death. In fact, if we are faithful today, guess what? We will be fruitful forever. We'll not just scrape through, but actually we'll run through the finishing line. Not just limping, but running with celebration, because we were faithful in what God asked us to do. Hallelujah. We can be rescued from judgment for our sin, but we're not rescued from an audit of our actions. Have a look at Peter's timeline. I don't know what your timeline looks like. His is kind of up and down. He's called, yay, I'm going to follow Jesus. Then he has to work out relationships with the other 11 of the 12, with the disciples. Then there's a great moment, the transfiguration, yay. And he has the great ecstatic experience, and he wants to stay there. But then really things take a dive, don't they always do after a really good day, after a really good experience. The next day is never quite as good, is it? And you see the line on the screen, up and down and up and down. Yay, things are great. And then he confesses the Christ there. You can see that. And this isn't highly accurate chronological order. It's just a pattern you can see. He confesses, Jesus, you're the Messiah. And Jesus says, yeah, actually, do you know, on that revelation, I'm going to build the whole of my ecclesia, my church. And Peter has a high moment. Within a matter of days, really, he finds himself with Jesus having been arrested, denying that he even knew Jesus. Not just once, not just twice, three times. And in that spiral, he can't even cope with seeing Jesus, his Messiah, crucified on a rubbish tip outside Jerusalem. He's not even there. He plummets even further, because on Saturday morning, Jesus is still dead. And as far as Peter really understood and knew, Jesus might even have stayed dead. The bottom fell out of his world completely. And then on the third day, can anyone say hallelujah? On the third day, he himself saw the risen Christ. High point! And then actually within a matter of just a few days of that experience of walking with the resurrected Jesus, then Jesus says, by the way, guys, I'm off. I don't think the ascension is necessarily was one of his high points. Jesus, you've just got back. You're there and then you're not and then you're there and now you're not. And he says, go and wait and pray to receive the Holy Spirit. So they do. The day of Pentecost, in the festival of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fills Peter and he's full of power and fire. And he goes from being timid and wayward to being in the marketplace, in the temple courts, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Thousands of people become followers of Jesus. He's baptizing people. Gets so many baptisms, he's probably got wrinkly fingers, you know. So one after the other after the other. The church is born. And what a great day. And before long, he's healing people. And then he's in prison for healing people in the name of Jesus. And then he escapes from prison and it's fantastic. And everything goes crazy and the whole disciples think, wow, God is with us. And then there's more persecution. And then the Gentiles, the non-Jews become followers of Christ. And Peter's there at the birth of that new movement of God. It's like, everything's great. And then there's politics and there's leadership issues. And there's tensions within the church and racial tensions and racism. And you know, this is just his life. I don't know what your timeline would be like. Highs and lows and highs and lows, confident faith and denial and embarrassment and faithfulness and faithlessness. And by the time he gets to write 2 Peter, he's getting towards the end of his days. And I'm telling you, it's been a really long journey. And in AD 67, when we understand this tradition says he was crucified upside down for following Jesus Christ, he went to glory to the highest point. It's even off the scale. It's in the clouds. His experience of God went on to a level that just keeps on increasing for all eternity. And just before that moment, before he goes, he writes these words. Work hard. Prove that you're among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you'll never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I dare to suggest, when they saw Peter approaching just moments before his death, there was a ripple of noise and celebration in heaven. And they got the trumpets out and polished them and cleaned them, you know, and they have to blow through, get them all clear. And as Peter arrived, I dare to suggest he received a rich and warm welcome into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you love to have heard the trumpets? So much so that some people in the church say, now he stands at the gates. Yes, he's the measure. He stands at the gates. Welcome everyone in. I'm not sure about that. But there's a fanfare awaiting you, my sister, my brother. There's a fanfare awaiting. And how you live today can make a difference to how warm your welcome will be on that day. That's what Peter says to us today. It's a challenge. It's an invitation. And you might say, well, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to say, you know, God is in charge, but we are responsible. God is in charge, but we have been given responsibility. Think about what we've been given responsibility for. For some of us, it's actually literally thousands of pounds every month coming into our hands, into our bank account. Some of us wish that we had thousands of pounds coming to our bank account. But we have money coming through our hands. What an amazing opportunity. Do you know what? Many of us have been given health that means that we can walk places, we can talk places, we can hear, we can listen. We've been given the privilege of a day on this planet to make a difference. We've been entrusted. We are responsible for what we've been given. Some of us have been given amazing talents and abilities. We've been given knowledge that we understand things that other people don't. And we've been given that, entrusted with that. We've been given that. We need to be faithful today with what God has given us in order that we might be fruitful forever. So what are we doing with what's in our hands? This is what the word says to us. I encourage you, don't be a frozen chosen, but be part of the faithful, faithful. Don't know if you ever had part of your body stop working. I'm not going to ask for any shows of hands or any gory details. Have you ever had part of your body stop? Maybe a joint, a limb, a knee that just stopped working. There's a number of reasons why that can happen. One happened to a friend of ours just a few weeks ago. He's an executive taxi driver and going through London in his shiny Mercedes, and he's driving through London and the phone goes. And the news is so extreme that he is scared stiff. So what it was is their little boy, how old is he, 6 or 7? He had a fit, and it was such an extreme fit that he ended up in an ambulance. He was clenching his jaws. His mum was trying to kind of protect him from kind of hurting himself. So she put her hand into his mouth, you know, to try and stop. That's not good first aid advice, apparently. But when you're a mum and you think your son is going to die, you do whatever you can. So she's bleeding. They're in the ambulance. They're on their way. It's such a severe situation. The paramedic is crying as they're driving this child to the hospital to get treatment. And the father is driving his taxi, and he gets a phone call. You need to come quickly, but this is really important. Your son is facing death. And half his body shut down. The muscles froze. There is actually a condition called catatonia. And it's when you go into a stupor, the part of your body stops working because of fear. Many people have experienced being scared stiff. It's not just cats that do this. We can do this. Some of us have experienced the spiritual equivalent of catatonia, that we're so afraid that part of our body just doesn't work. There's another reason why limbs stop working, and that's through wear and tear. Anyone had any hip replacement? I'm not going to get a show of hands. That's a bit intrusive, isn't it? But, you know, wear and tear can cause our limbs to stop working, to freeze up. There's another thing that can stop our limbs from working, and that is a lack of use. Atrophy is when muscles stop being used. And, you know, there is a biological, physiological thing, a rule in medicine that says use it or lose it. If your muscles are not used, they will atrophy. They will stop working. Ligaments will lose their flexibility and their elasticity. Helen experienced this when she ruptured her Achilles. It wasn't just her Achilles that was affected, although that was massively effective, but just a few weeks of not walking meant that the ability to walk was almost entirely initially taken away. All the surrounding muscles, the ligaments, everything. It's like, how can that be that in such a short space of time, you can have a healthy leg to having one that doesn't really work? It's the same as it is in the physical, it can also be in the spiritual. Some of us have gifts and abilities and talents and time and treasure that has been stored up, and it's like it's been put away in the back of a bottom drawer and shoved away. Maybe because we're afraid, maybe because we're just embarrassed because the gifts are what they are, or maybe we're just doing it for safety, or maybe we want an easy life. Oh, God, help us. Just file it away. It's easier that way, I'm telling you. Today's the day to get some of those things out the drawer and make a decision in the presence of God. I'm not going to waste another single day. I'm not going to waste any of my treasure and any of my talent. I'm going to be faithful today. Do you know what? Because I'm living to be fruitful forever. You see, the daily decisions we have to make have eternal consequences. The good news is you can be faithful today in an eternal way. You can be. How you love matters. How you love matters. In my relationship with God, I get a feeling sometimes he just wants me to tell him that I love him. He doesn't need a lot more than that on some days. And while I'm making the tea and getting up in the morning and rubbing the sleep from my eyes, it's okay just to start the day, God, I just love you. Don't have a lot to say, I'm just going to empty the dishwasher. But I love you. Do you know that matters? It matters to God just to tell him. Can I encourage you? Tell him at least once a day, just that you love him. Just that you're glad for what he's done in your life. Just tell him how you love matters. Do you know what? Telling people that you love them, it matters. Sharing that love really matters. How you are with the people around you, with your neighbors, your friends, your spouse, your kids, it matters for eternity. Because every time an act of love, an act of kindness is genuine and real, it has a ripple effect that goes way beyond what you could ever see. The reason we know this is because if that love is withheld, we know what happens. When that affection is not given, we know what happens to relationships. When we don't tell God we love him, we know we are distant from him more and more and more, and the gap widens. Yes? Well, the good news is there's mercy today. If the gap's widened for you, you can close it in the name of Jesus today. How we love really matters. It would be no good for me to say to Helen, do you know what? I told you 25 years ago when I put a ring on it that I love you. I don't need to ever tell you again. In fact, whether or not I show it to you doesn't really matter. You see, this ring was just a sign of what I promised to do today. Hello? This ring is just proof of what I promised to do today, not just what I have done before. Love has to be lived out. And when it is, amazing things happen. Secondly, how we live really matters. How you are at work really matters. What you do with your time and energy really matters. I'm thinking about our friend Ola. Do you know he's an executive director in Goldman Sachs? You might think, whoa, that sounds nice. Well, when I met with him for lunch a few weeks ago in the new headquarters of Goldman Sachs, I realized, you know what? He is sent by God to be an executive director in Goldman Sachs. You know what? It's not easy. I'm telling you, I can't tell you really anything about what he said, but I'm just telling you, there isn't a place where it's easy to live out the Christian faith. There's nowhere on the planet that it's easy to live out the Christian faith. Unless you live in isolation, then it's not really the Christian faith. How we live matters. How he is in the boardroom and in the conversation and making the presentation, that matters. And it can matter for eternity. Because of how he lives and how you live, the difference that can make goes way beyond what we can even see. How we live really matters. Do you know what? What we say really matters. I think about another Wellspringer, goes from building site to building site as an inspector. Do you know what? If he goes in grumpy and complaining about the shoddy workmanship and looking down his nose at every single project he sees, you know, he would be doing his job. He'd be doing his job, but guess what? He goes in with a smile on his face because he's full of the Holy Spirit, because he knows Jesus, and he goes in trying to encourage the workmen working in the middle of the rain that their work is worth doing well. Same job, different spirit. Same job, different attitude. Same job, different resolution. How we live matters. That presentation at work, it matters. I think you're getting the idea. And what we say and how we say it matters. Jesus wouldn't be part of gossip in the office, would he? Jesus wouldn't spread lies about that manager or that director. Jesus wouldn't do that. What we say really matters. And when we speak words of life, the power of the tongue is to bring life. When we do that, the knock-on effect is much bigger than we could ever imagine. That one encouragement you can give somebody on a rainy Monday morning at a bus stop could actually go on to change the direct trajectory of their lives. We believe that, don't we? We can speak of Jesus and speak like Jesus. Quickly then, what we pray really matters. I want to encourage you, there's not a single prayer you've prayed that's bounced off the ceiling of heaven, you know, that's bounced off. Every prayer matters. What we pray matters. Persistence in prayer matters. I find really helpful an app that I was pointed to a few years ago called PrayerMate. Anyone come across PrayerMate? Just raise your hands if you have. Okay, PrayerMate, I love it. I've got a list and I decided to replace my email inbox with the icon for it, because I'd rather pray than try and empty my inbox. And you literally put in your own series of prayer requests and different things that you want to pray for every day. This from the first service. And you basically swipe through a list of things. And as I do that every morning, I'm saying, God, you hear this prayer. Pray for that. I know I've been praying this for like 3 years for that person. I'm praying for my nephew. I'm praying for my parents. I'm praying for money for the extension. I'm praying for signs and wonders. I'm praying for people to come to know Jesus for themselves. I'm praying, there's a whole load of list of things that I'm praying, some ridiculous things on a daily basis. Do you know what? It makes a difference. Jesus says, amen, 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 amen. You might not find an app helpful, but you will find this helpful. How you pray and what you pray for, it does matter. Please don't be discouraged. I know you've had some answers that have said no, but I encourage you to keep asking and keep praying anyway. Can I hear an amen? Finally, how we give matters. It's a biblical principle. We've been entrusted with finances. Some of us feel we've not been entrusted with enough to begin to give. I'm telling you, you cannot afford not to give back from what you've received, even a small amount. But the ancient principle from, and you'll see it running as a thread through this book, is the people who are faithful today give today. And give something into the work of God to redeem the money. You know, there's lots of things you could do with a pound. Is it still a pound? You could buy a lottery ticket with a pound. Is it still a pound? How much is it? £2.50. Okay, with £2.50. How do you know that? You'll find out when I win, mate. I'm not being judgmental here. I'm just saying, listen, you could take your £2.50 and you could buy a lottery ticket. You could. You could go down to Lidl and you could go down to Lidl and buy especially cheap mince pies. You could. You could choose to do that. You could also, with that £2.50, doesn't feel like much, you could also place that in an offering in a church where you trust the leaders. You could place that in an offering, and if it was here in Wellspring, guess what? Some of that money would make its way to Ethiopia. And in Ethiopia, we're training and helping train church planters. And do you know what? They are going into places that you and I can never go, and they're planting churches and healing the sick and baptizing people in their community. We're £2.50. And at the same time, you could help the homeless. You could buy some coffee for the people who come into the living room day after day after day here in the Wellspring. And you could, with that £2.50, you could send somebody into the schools across that field to tell young people about the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, what you give, it matters. It really does. So let's redeem our money. And be careful what we do with all of it, of course. But how we give and what we give really matters. Now, as the band come up, I want to read to you and show this is not just Peter that felt this way. It's not just Peter that spoke about these things, but actually the Apostle Paul used such similar words. And I want, as the band prepare, I want you to hear this as the heart of God. This is not just Peter. This is the heart of God for everyone who would call themselves a follower of Christ. This is what it says in 2 Thessalonians. This is the first chapter, very similar in the pattern of Paul's life. This is what he writes in verse 11. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then, listen to this, the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you'll be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord, Jesus Christ. Whatever your faith prompts you to do, be faithful today, and know that you'll be fruitful forever. And imagine the fruit that can come in this room. And from those listening to the recording, imagine what happens when we make a decision on a gray November Monday morning. We say, God, I want to be faithful today. I want to be faithful today. Make me fruitful forever. I want to be faithful today. When there's yet another nappy to change, as we're doing it, I'm faithful today because I want to be fruitful forever. When that person at work is driving us mad, when there's somebody we need to speak to at the bus stop, we just want to reach out and I don't really want to speak to them, but I'm going to be faithful today because I want to be fruitful forever. When there's another assignment in our studies, when there's something else that needs doing and we don't really feel like doing it, when we make that choice in the name of Jesus, we know we can be faithful today and we will be fruitful forever. And my prayer is that every one of us will receive such a warm welcome. And if I get there ahead of you, I'm going to get my bugle cleaned. And I join with all the other saints and celebrate you entering into glory. And before we pray, it's really important for us to recognize that in our timeline, there have been low moments. In our time, we've been faithless and not faithful. And the grace of Jesus is here for all those who are struggling to follow Jesus, to admit your need for his grace and to start again. As we heard, as Sheila shared this prophetic word about the chalkboard, understand the grace of God is so good to just wipe clean and give us a fresh start. He's the God of a million second chances. So if that's you, I invite you as we pray, confess your sin to the Lord. It's time for repentance. It's a time for reflection, to admit our need for his grace. Know the Lord forgives you. He's not condemning you. He's inviting you to live life on purpose. And I'll say to you today, if you're not a follower of Christ, if you've not made a definitive decision to put your life in his hands, to follow him, I encourage you in this moment, simply ask him for forgiveness and make a decision in his presence that you want to follow him all of your days. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, we can't wait to see you face to face. Lord, we can't wait to see you without all this rubbish. But Lord, between now and then, we want to live in such a way that we might truly follow Jesus and walk in his footsteps. So Lord, we look to you and we pray, God, you'd receive our efforts and our best efforts, and Holy Spirit, that you'd fill us to make those efforts effective. God, help us as your people to be truly faithful today, and that we'll receive the welcome that you assigned to us because we walked with you. So Lord, forgive us and help us and receive our praise now in Jesus' name. Amen. What if we can stand, and Jenny and the band are going to lead us in song. Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.